2 Nephi chapter 6. We know that Jacob had been consecrated a teacher, so in this chapter he begins to teach to the people. In verse 2 he says that we learn that Nephi had been made a king. In the previous chapter he had just said that he did according to his power, and it did make clear what he'd done. Well, now they clarify that he had indeed accepted to be their king. But we learn what is meant to be a king. A king is not, again, someone to dominate, control, and receive the taxes so that he can build up his places and so on and so on. It's so that a king is a protector. They make him a king so that he will protect him. Well, how could Nephi possibly protect him? Where is his power? We learn later about King Benjamin and Mosiah, and they had their own little homestead, their own self-sufficiency plot. How were they able to protect the people? The way they protected the people was in the power of Jesus Christ. They didn't have the power themselves, but the people knew that they had a relationship with the Savior, and so they looked at them and said, through your relationship with the Savior, I want you to protect us. But they didn't want that to be a king. They wanted the people to get that protection and that faith themselves so that they might receive that protection directly from the Lord. And this is basically the way it goes on. Again, due to the lack of faith, the people have greater faith in seeing a man, and so when we do turn things over to our leaders, whether it's leaders of government or leaders of church, we have to understand that we have taken a lesser order of things. But nonetheless, when we do that, we are telling our leaders that they are the ones that have the strong relationship with the Lord, and we expect our leaders to do that, which again, Nephi continued to always say, that as a leader, I am leading according to the Lord. And I notice in verse 3, remember this is Jacob telling us this, that Jacob says that he has taught them many things already. This implies that a lot of time has passed between chapters 5 and 6. See, one of the hardest things about reading Scripture is that time will pass, and we could be talking in a couple verses about something happening, but that actually happened for several years. So, for instance, the one that we'll keep an eye on is when Alma, the elders, people were put back into captivity. They could have been back in captivity for years. We don't really know. But we always liked it because we're reading so fast and it's only one or two verses. We think, oh, it's just a few days or a short time. But in this case, years had passed. We don't know exactly, but it does have the strong feeling that years have passed. Try and be aware of that a little bit to help you in your study. So he said that what he's going to do is read from Isaiah. So we learn that most teachings and prophecy is just a repeat of what previous teachers have taught us and previous prophets have prophesied. So just as Jacob now is going to repeat what Isaiah said, or the records they already had of Isaiah, so did the Lord. And he repeats things over and over again to make things clear. And mostly he continues to repeat the same thing that Isaiah has said over and over to try and make it clear. In verse 5, for instance, Jacob says that Isaiah is talking to Israel, or he's talking to the Lord's covenant people. Now, he says that I can liken the words of Isaiah unto you of my day, because you are of Israel, or you are the covenant people. Well, we notice that when Isaiah is talking to covenant people, he talks a lot to the Gentiles, so he's talking to us. Not only that, we know he's talking to us because Mormon selected these words to go in the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon is to us. The important thing is that obviously these words are to us, and that we're to take them seriously and not just think there's something that's being said to the people of old times. Again, you'll see later that Christ will say that these are to us. And again, he is repeating, largely in this section, the same thing that he said in 1 Nephi chapters 20 and 21. So he's trying to repeat to get it into our heads. But again, we read the words of Isaiah and they seem a little bit strange to us because we don't want to believe them due to our own pride and so forth. And so we say they don't apply to us. But that's what the chosen people have done throughout history. Meaning that the Jews said they were chosen, so they didn't. So obviously they couldn't kill the Messiah, so therefore those words weren't to them. And today, oh, no way that the great Gentile church could fall. We'd never join with the Church of Abomination. They couldn't be talking to us because we're now the new chosen people. But these words are to us. In verse 6, and as I said, this is a lot of a repeat of what is in 1 Nephi chapter 21. And he says that the destruction has already occurred in Jerusalem, and that they have been carried away captive. But they will return to Jerusalem, and the Redeemer will come. And he talks about the Redeemer. Why does he continue to talk about the Redeemer? Because everyone continues to forget about the Redeemer. Why do they forget about the Redeemer? Oh, they like their leaders, their church leaders that are men, and they like their government leaders that are men, and they like their army, they like their businesses who take care of them. They like their armies to protect them. Everything that the Lord has done for them, they've replaced them with functions of men. And so they have forgotten their Redeemer. They have hardened their heart to the Redeemer. It doesn't matter they go to church and claim to be followers of Christ. They do not believe in the full power of Christ, and they do not believe that He is, again, their provider, their protector, and their progressor, and that He is literally all of these things. They turn to the work of their own hands, meaning the work of their own hands, their own businesses and farms to protect, to provide for them, and their great big industry, and their armies to protect them, and their governments to rule over them, and all of these things are the work of their hands that they worship. And he says that after the Redeemer comes to Israel, to Jerusalem, that then the Jews will harden their hearts again, and they'll go back to their own ways and their own rules. And we're talking even about meaning the Jews who accepted the Lord at His time. Now, this is really tough because he's gone through hundreds of years in every sentence here, and so he's flying through the whole history of man. And then in verse 12, it says that the Gentiles are blessed. This implies that he's now talking about our time. He's talking about the time that he's blessed the Gentiles. He's taken the gospel to the Gentiles. The gospel progresses the Gentiles. It's a blessing to them, meaning it's the thing by which they're able to progress. And that's what the meaning of blessing is. So he's blessed them. So we're talking here about the time, this time, the time now, when the gospel is amongst the Gentiles. So here we are in verse 12. We're already up to our day. And in fact, our day is actually a little bit past this. And it also says, if it so be that they shall repent and fight not against Zion. Now it's starting to talk about them not being blessed, meaning they're blessed when they unite with Zion. But wait, we're talking Zion. Who is Zion? Zion is our day. Zion is those people who are the followers of the true followers of Christ, okay? And he warns the Gentiles that they should not unite with the great and abominable church. Well, he's not just talking to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but he's also talking to all the other churches and all the other people. Don't become the fighters against Zion. And so also that is a foreshadowing that even the church of our day who had been blessed, and the Gentiles who have been blessed to receive the fullness of the gospel, will have a tendency to unite with the great and abominable church. And what is that again? They are the one who fight against Zion. And now we have an interesting thing that happened. He says in verse 13 that the people of the Lord will not be ashamed. So now he's talking about Zion, or the people of Zion, or the people that he's going to gather to Zion. They're the ones that are not ashamed. What does it mean, not ashamed? We have to go back to the tree of life. And we see that they are the ones who, when they partook of the tree of life, what was the tree of life? It's the love of Christ. In our day, in our study, we find that many of the Christians claim to be born again, or they have had a spiritual experience with Christ, and their spiritual experience is they have tasted the love of Christ. But then they don't want to continue to have that continual experience, or they don't want to grow in that experience. And they fight against those who claim to have eternal progression. And they claim, they start attacking those that say, oh, you're going to be gods, and you want to be lofty. And it's kind of the same attack that the brothers gave Nephi. Oh, you desire to be high above us. But people who think about eternal progression aren't thinking about how they're going to rule and reign over everybody and dominate them. They're thinking about being like Christ and having to serve them and be stomped under the feet of men and be spit upon. But because of their love, the same love they felt from Christ, they love their fellow man, and they'll do anything. They will put up with all of these afflictions, one, to feel the love of Christ, and second, because they love of men, and they desire to bring the other men unto Christ. But we see that those that look around, they're ashamed of this principle. That's what they're ashamed of. They're ashamed that they believe in the eternal principle, because the world that fights against Zion points their fingers and says, oh, that idea of eternal progression is the idea that you become God, and no one can be God, and they point their finger at them, and so they're ashamed of to continue to receive the love of Christ, which means to continue to grow and have eternal progression, which comes from being a true follower of Christ, experiencing His love, which is His every commandment, and making the clear choice that the only thing that you want in this life, again, is, or for all eternity, is to have that love that you have experienced from Christ and that you hope to have from your Heavenly Father when you go up there for eternity, and as I said, you continue to get that by continuing to follow Christ through personal revelation and have eternal growth. Even the Mormon Church can, even though they have this gospel, they can continue to fight against those that are then in their church claim to have found the love of Christ, or in essence might even claim the same idea of being born again, meaning they have experienced the love of Christ and they want to continue to experience the love of Christ. Then the leaders of that church will fight against them, saying, no, you need to come unto us. Which is exactly the same thing that caused the fall of the Jews, the Catholic Church, and almost every other church, as men began to think that they need to follow men and other men, and many men want to take dominion over the people. Well, he's talking again in verse 13. Let's continue on. The Book of Mormon is talking to those who have felt the love of Christ but want to continue in that experience of feeling the love of Christ and follow Him. So he's talking to them, and he says, and that is usually who Isaiah is talking to, and they can be called the remnant. And he says to them that he is going to recover them a second time. Now again, up here in verse 12, we're already talking about he's blessed the Gentiles. By blessing them, he's given them the Book of Mormon and the fullness of the gospel, but they haven't totally accepted it. We already know that again. President Benson has said that we did not form Zion. So all we have in Zion is the scattered Zion, or those scattered people who are the true followers of Christ. And again, the idea of Isaiah is he continues to talk to them. It is talking to those who feel the true love of Christ and want to be His true followers and continue to have that experience for all the time. And so he talked to them. He said, you're scattered. I know that you're scattered, and I will gather you a second time. And in verses 15 through 18, he talks to them and says, I am your protector. And he comforts them, and he says, there are great tempests are going to come, and great earthquakes and upheavals of the earth are going to come, but if you're my true followers, feel my love and know that I care about you. And I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this to destroy the wicked around you. And this will be a disruption so that I can gather you. And don't be feeling like as if this is something that's against you. And he says that when he destroys them, they will see his power. And they will begin. They will testify that, yea, they know that he is the Christ. But he continues on. His purpose was not to totally talk about what he's doing to the wicked. Again, he's mostly wanting to talk about his followers, those that he loves and those that love him. And he says that those followers are the prey of the world. They're the prey of government and of industry and of churches and of other men. But he says they are of the mighty one. And he is the mighty one. And he's saying to them that the world thinks that they have them captive, but they don't. The mighty one will come, and he will deliver that prey, or he will deliver his own, and he will show them who is the mighty one. And he says, and he again says to them that I will revenge thee. Now that really ends chapter 6, but don't all of a sudden end that thought, because these chapters, even though we're doing them chapter by chapter, not mean that that's the end. He continues on this same idea. He doesn't just stop there and say, okay, therefore be of good cheer. He continues that song in all of Isaiah to his people, to his true follower, to let them continue to know that he does love them, he does remember them, and that if they will stay single to him, that he is going to gather them.